Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and this is Stuart. We got Larry on his mountaintop, and we're trying to get hold of Stan. He's not on yet.
Yes, he is. Can you hear me?
Oh,
can you hear me?
Are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I was just hanging up on another call that came in, so I'm there.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for coming on. We got Larry with us on his mountaintop. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Oh, doing okay, Stuart. Thanks for coming on, Stan. A lot of stuff going on.
Hey, look, I just had a look at that part of that video I've almost finished that you sent me the link to. And, you know, boy, there's some heavy stuff in that. When you look at what Groover said, you know, about
yes.
the, I think he's at number 26 and a half, 27 minutes into that thing. Groover says, when Israel sends troops into Gaza, that will be a prophetic sign revealing the Middle East war has started. Well, what's happening right now?
Yeah.
They're lining up on the border with tanks and armed personnel and drew a line in the sand. They say, if you guys come across it, we're going to shoot.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because of the timing of all this. A lot of people are not aware that the actual Feast of Trumpets and therefore Atonement and Tabernacles is a month off this year. And there's two or three confirmations that that's actually correct. And here we are actually on atonement right now, tonight. And Israel has to go into atonement. That's what Jacob's trouble is all about. But what's your take on all this, Stan? You've really been following this, and especially this deal with the murder and Salman, Prince Salman. What's your take on this whole thing?
Well, you know, he's living up to what I think he's going to be. His initials are widely used, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, and he has formed a military union of 34 Arab nations at least, but there might be a couple more added since I last checked, and it's an AU Arabic Union. Now, I cover this in my show images page, I think it's in slide 13, where I link to the comparison of all the Middle East characters that might fit the bill for the Antichrist. This boy, Mohammed bin Salman, he fits about 95% of what we can determine at this point the Antichrist would exhibit. And the fact that the quote-unquote rogue 18 members of his intelligence agency went over to Turkey after they tricked a guy to get there to the embassy and then had a disagreement in which they were wearing earphones playing music so they couldn't hear him scream and they chopped him into 18 pieces, well, gosh. What, you know, what an accident of interrogation. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah.
It's like you know, the old tale about when they had to escape convict down in Texas and, you know, they found him. He was you know, not favored among the farmers in the area. And the paper reported that he had 21 shots to the chest and he had his hands chained behind him. It was the worst case of suicide they ever saw. You know, I mean, it's in the same vein as that. Gosh. Oh.
What do you think the motive was to get rid of this guy? I mean, we know he had ties to the CIA. He had evidently ties to 9/11, and he was fairly up the food chain, I guess, of authorities over there.
Yeah.
What would you
understand,
suspect?
Well, understand that about a year and a half ago, when King Salman took the reins when his, you know, the king before him died and the reins passed to him. King Salman fired or dismissed the actual heir to the throne from the other side of his family, Mohammed bin Nayef. And so since King Salman's son, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, was in the palace doing things at the same time that Mohammed bin Nayef was, friction started between those two factions. They're dividing factions of the whole Saudi royal family. So MBN got sacked, you know, removed from the position of crown prince, and King Salman then appointed his son Mohammed bin Salman to that spot. Now, in the beginning, young Mohammed bin Salman looked to be, you know, fairly responsible type guy to the outside world, but he was, and still is, you know, fairly clumsy in the art of war. He makes big mistakes like he did in Yemen. His mother, he's kept his mother apart from his father. I think she's in England or someplace. He's put her away to live a quiet life away from his dad. His dad is going a bit senile, so King Salman has been depending on young Mohammed bin Salman to take up a lot of the portfolios and virtually run the country without being a king. So the king has threatened to put the reins on young MBS after this thing with Khashoggi, you know, to try to stabilize the country, because half the country want to get rid of Mohammed bin Salman and the king and put Mohammed bin Nayef in. But as I've said many times, although Nostradamus is not recognized as a Christian prophet, he has hit a number of things on the head, and one of them was the third Antichrist, the one coming in our time, will be known as Mabus, M-A-B-U-S. Take the vowels out, like, you know, Nostradamus was known to code it. It's M-B-S, and you put the vowels back in, A-U, Arabic Union. He has formed an Arabic Union, which is it's not just like a shopping union. This is a war machine, and with the Pakistanis being involved, it's a nuclear war machine. And Saudi Arabia has always been against Israel, and then all of a sudden here, young Mohammed bin Salman makes friends with Jared Kushner and President Trump and things like that, and everybody thinks, oh, rosy times. I'll tell you what, he's going to turn on Israel and the United States. He's going to be deceiving, more deceiving than he is now. So to hear that he hit Khashoggi, my alarms go off saying Khashoggi knew something about what the young MBS was doing that would either queer the deal with a peace treaty between the Palestinians, the Israelis, and the Americans being involved, or it was going to expose a betrayal he's going to do with the United States and Israel, somewhere along those lines. But it was so important that Khashoggi had to go, and Khashoggi had not released that information to anybody that we know. So, you know, nuclear war is right around the corner. I mean, we are on the verge of a nuclear war where we will have to be involved, because the Russians in the Middle East, they're championing various factions in Syria. They're also cozy with Iran and with General Qasem Soleimani. They want, the Russians in this consortium, want the United States to be neutered, you know, neutralized, so militarily it can't defend Israel before the Russians will move on that. And I suspect a betrayal by Mohammed bin Salman if he's in charge of that Arabic Union. It's only like a several hundred yard turn to the left if he goes up through Jordan and up into the Golan Heights, allegedly to take, you know, charge of Syria, get rid of the Iranians because he hates the Iranians. He could just turn left at the same time and go down and hit Israel from the north, just walk down into the country. So it's a very volatile situation for them and for us.
Wow. Do you think this is going to trigger? I mean, they've got, obviously they're moving a lot of heavy military equipment down there, tanks and armored vehicles and troops. Do you think the invasion of Gaza is imminent?
Well, look at this. The IDF, you know, the Defense Forces, the chief of it has said, as well as Ben, as Netanyahu, that the situation cannot go any further. They're going to stop the Palestinian encroachment on the border in the south. Okay, well, so we move a lot of troops and armament down to the south, to the Gaza border, and that removes those people, you know, those assets, from being on the Golan Heights, where they're being pressured there and are going to have to defend the Golan Heights in the north. So they've got two fronts to fight, you know, with the troops they've got. And if they lose our support, you know, if we get dropped in the sea or whatever, or an EMP attack and we're neutralized, they will be on their own, and Israel will have to be dependent on the grace of God to survive this attack. It is very close. It is very close. I'm telling you, I can't tell you everything I know, but we have been privileged to speak with people that are in the know, and it is very close.
So I guess one could say then the decision by Israel has been made that they're going to, how do I say, clean up this situation as best as they can anyway.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
I mean, how much of these, you know, strikes can you take without, you know, defending yourself? I mean, it's stupid not to just take them out.
Hey, Stuart, let me, if you got to, let me read Stan this paragraph that I was sent by mail from Israel and get his opinion on it, okay?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Help yourself.
Okay. I won't name the person that sent it. They're inside Israel. It was mailed in September. I just got it a couple of days ago, and I want to read it. It's about a paragraph long, Stan, and get your opinion. Kind of interesting.
All right.
It says, I know you're aware of the enormous Russian buildup in Syria, but did you know that the first elements of their Navy, the Russian Navy, was reported in the news on the last blood moon of the Tetrad? Thought you might appreciate the following quote, which I found as a footnote in the Art Scroll commentary on Ezekiel. It says, and this is a quote, says, when the Russian Navy passes through the Bosphorus, that is, on the way to the Mediterranean through the Dardanelles, it will be time to put on Sabbath clothes in anticipation of the coming of Mashiach. It says, that's Mashiach, page 134, is quoted in Art Scroll commentary on Ezekiel. What do you think, Stan? Does that tie in a little bit, too?
Well, understand that if this is the Hebrew prophecies for their Messiah, the coming of this guy is not going to be the Messiah that we talk about in the Christian community. So I do know that the Arabs do look for a Mahdi to come, their Messiah. Where he will arrive and what his name will be, will it be Mohammed bin Salman? Will it be somebody from Turkey or Greece? I don't know. It's just a very difficult time. I do get correspondence from Israel as well, from people up in the north near the Sea of Galilee, Kinneret. And things are really tense up there, really tense.
Well, then we've got this thing from Koning International News where he said Israeli F-35 stealth warplanes flew undetected over Iran, crossing into Syria and Lebanon on a special reconnaissance flight over Iranian location. They've got to be getting ready then to scout out Iran for attack, I would think. What's your take on that?
You're saying this is Saudi planes?
No, this was Israelis.
Ah, because the Saudis don't like the Iranians either. I mean, the Iranians are basically Shiite Muslims, and the Saudis are predominantly Sunni. And the ruling family, the Saudis, the Salmans at the moment, are kind of turning away from the Wahhabi version of Islam that they practice. And the Salman family, they kind of arrested a guy, a journalist, about 2 years ago when they took power, arrested him because he was saying that there is a definite link in the Salman family going back to a Jewish merchant in Basra, and which makes him a Jewish bloodline, again, fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. So the fact that the Saudis are going over there, is it a deal with the states? Sorry, the Israelis are going over Iran. Is it a deal with the states for, you know, marking out the targets for the nuclear sites that Ben Netanyahu has already marked? I don't know, but it would seem logical. It's very dangerous because the Russians have, I'm pretty sure, the equipment to take down some of the Israeli jets. You know, electronics are very fiddly in that area. So, yeah, they're getting ready. When you move the troops around this and start doing the preparations we see in Israel and then pull something like this Khashoggi thing, the tensions in the region, it's like the Balkan powder keg, except it's the Middle East powder keg.
Mm-hmm. So let's say, just run a scenario, let's say they do attack Gaza, then Syria, Iran, and Russia come in from the north. That would bring in, would it not, the United States? And that would then, in turn, would bring in the Russians. And it might be confined just to the Middle East, but would that not be a major war? Maybe the Isaiah 17 war?
Don't forget Turkey.
And Turkey, yes.
They're not friends of Israel or the United States. And there's a warming between Saudi Arabia and Turkey in spite of the thing with Khashoggi at the moment. So, everybody in that area, it's kind of like, standing with all the Russian, all the Romans around you with a pitchfork saying, you know, I resist. I mean, Israel is surrounded by everybody in all their arms, and poor little old Israel is sitting there, you know, like Spartacus. And the United States presence there is one threat, but the United States military machine based here and all over the world in various ports and bases, they must be neutralized, you know, so that there's no military action to defend Israel, or very limited if it does happen. This is why we've all been watching that situation, is because past administrations before President Trump have not let us prepare our military to the point it needs to be, and the Russians and the Chinese and everybody else know this. So expect a hit at home to make us so weakened here. It might be something like a civil war over this, illegals coming in. A civil war over the elections in November between, the left and the right. A civil war dividing us, and then, you know, we get hit with an EMP. An EMP would hurt us so terribly, that the country would be in chaos. The fires would start, massive fires and things like that. People need to be prepared to, divest themselves of the grid and protect certain areas or neighborhoods and stuff with the EMP shields and have auxiliary power. We've been telling people this, telling people and warning them, and the time is here now. And, we can only make so many of these things ourselves, so we're not going to be able to help everybody. It's too late. Yeah, I'm getting on my soapbox.
Larry, got any questions for that on that part?
Yeah, it's very interesting, Stan. Also, I've still noted the fact that the ham operators, the emergency management system, has really been watching the, a lot of the activity of FEMA and coordinating with FEMA. Matter of fact, I got an alert system given to me the other day by EMS, and it'll even bring in presidential alerts. And what do you think about that nationwide presidential alert that we had? It was a test, but what do you think is being prepared for, Stan?
Last time I saw something like this when I was a young man, the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban invasion type thing, and the threat of Russian bombs and that kind of stuff at the same time. It is a real clear and present danger, and this would not have been done just to test the system as a kind of we better test the system. We're testing the system because it is urgently needed, and I can't explain to you, I can't tell you the details of it, but I have been meeting, and my partner and I, with several government agencies at their request. And we've been seeing things and hearing things that tell us that this test was not just for, grins. It was for real. Get ready. And the MARS emergency system, the MARS system, my partner's a member of that, and so we get early news that the public doesn't get through that network. That's the ham radio network. So, yeah, take it as trying to get as many people aware without causing them panic. It got everybody's attention, and of course the leftists, were saying, oh, it's just, scare tactics and warmongering and all that kind of stuff. If the president or the chief of staff were to come out and say, hey, look, what time is it? We're about to go to war, get prepared. You could create a collapse of the share market and panic and, riots all over the country with people stomping on each other to try to get a safe place or loot stuff that they want. So when these kind of backhanded warnings come, the people that are thinking and reading the news and saying, this is about to happen, they can get prepared and they can tell their family and friends. And so at a grassroots level, with people that are going to be reasonably sane about dealing with this, that message is spread out through the population. I'm doing it, and there are other people like me that are doing it with these kind of general warnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just too bad people are really not paying much attention to it. But then they don't pay any attention to biblical prophecy either. The apostasy has really gone through the roof.
It is amazing.
As far as ignorance of it.
It's amazing that that people can be shown these things and shown current events and line them up on a piece of paper and say, do you see the parallel? Do you see that this is prophetic things really happening? It's not some lunatic fringe, you know, evangelical Christian thing. This is a roadmap to what is happening right now and what's going to happen next. A logical person would have to give thought to that. Again,
yeah, and they don't
for sure.
Yeah. It's like total. I always thought that as we got to the end and the prophecies were taking place right under their nose, there'd be much more interest, but it's actually gone the other way.
Yeah.
It's less interest.
How many people can you talk to that you just casually know that aren't Christians at all? And you talk to them, it's, well, who's playing this weekend? Oh, is your money on such and such? Oh, well, we just got back from holidays down in the Bahamas, and we're preparing for next year. We think we'll go, you know. And there's nothing about what's about to destroy their lifestyle. They have no idea.
Yeah. This meteor shower we're supposed to have, have you got any update on that at all? This Orionid or Orionid meteor?
As far as I know, it'll be an impressive show, but other than that, I don't have any additional information about it being particularly dangerous. In fact, most of the crossing meteor showers and kind of rogue meteors that might pass close to the Earth, as far as I can see from the report this month, there's not going to be any of them that come any closer than about twice the distance of the moon to the Earth. So they're way out there. But that is kind of like I was saying to Holly a while ago, that NASA has been known to say, look out for meteor number 27250. We just discovered, wow, that was close. It just went by. I don't think it's conspiracy or cover-up by NASA. There's just some of these things that do not reflect light from the sun or emit their own type of radiation that we can pick out. They're just cold stones or ice chunks out there, and you can't see them until they get within, radar or visual range of telescopes. Telescopes, mind you, which they're not going to repair and stuff out there that we've got in orbit. And wonderful things like Hubble and the Webb telescope, and, I mean, just...
It seems like everything is failing that we would need.
I know.
And that makes me wonder what's going on. We had that satellite. What was the name of that, Larry, that went down?
I believe it was AMS-9, I think was the name of it, in the Caribbean, over the Caribbean.
You do know that the Hopi talk about a habitation, a house in the sky, crashes down to the earth before the great civil war that will tear America apart occurs. So we've got several, space station type things being built or already built. The Chinese are wanting to build an artificial moon. That's not counting, but watch these things coming down, because when the sun is throwing out coronal mass ejections and definitely throwing out solar storms out of these great craters that are crevasses that are occurring in the upper atmosphere of the sun even now, these things can heat the atmosphere of the Earth to the point that it expands, and the low orbiting satellites get increased drag, and they come down before their time, and sometimes we lose control of whatever country's controlling it. So, watch for a number of things happening. The sun is definitely a problem, and NASA's aware of this. The Solar Observatory's aware of this. It's been putting out since about 1992 two new ultraviolet spectral ranges that don't cause cancer or anything, but they are absorbed by microbial life forms in the oceans, which then metabolize and take that energy and make it infrared or heat energy, which is heating up the environment. And that's more the cause of the warming of the seas than the cow gas and various other things they worry about. These are a factor, but the major factor, the major player is the sun. And when we don't have sunspots, it's not shielding us from deep space radiation and gamma ray bursts and, different things are happening out there with novas and supernovas, and they release lethal amounts of radiation. And if they're close enough to us, the density of it can harm us. If we don't have the protection of our ionosphere and magnetic field, and also from the emissions from the sun. So all this gets back to the sun as far as the ultimate player. And you'll notice in the revelation of John that many of the prophetic judgments are tied to the sun. You know, sun getting brighter, sun getting dark, in Ezekiel, and then a third of the planet being burned to a crisp by the increased sun, sunlight seven times the normal rate. It's an instrument that people can look at and say, well, that's not man-made, that's God, that's the creator. Definitely points to a non-human event.
Well, what's your take on all these big earthquakes? We've been having lots of them here, just a, kind of a spasm in the last, two weeks?
Well, they're mainly occurring in the southwest Pacific over Indonesia, north of Australia, between Cairns and Jakarta and that area. And those are areas that were weakened in the crust by the great asteroid that hit the east coast of India and formed the caused the great flood of the biblical flood. And that asteroid came to rest there and made the band of sea where it stopped. But that crust all along there is very thin. And so subtle differences in pressure on the mantle of the planet will manifest in these weak spots. And we've got another weak spot like that down in the southern tip of Argentina, near the South Pole, and look for some more quakes down that area soon. These quakes happening over there on the western side and southwestern side of the Arc of Fire around the Pacific are releasing pressure over there. Hopefully, this is relieving some of the stress where we've not seen it release in the Juan de Fuca Plate off Washington and Oregon coast. If it's not, we're seeing a trail of earthquakes move up the west side of South America and Central America, and these, of course, on the west side of the Arc or Ring of Fire are going up into Kamchatka and heading for the island chain, the Aleutians coming into Alaska. So it could trigger a Richter 9 plus, according to the USGS, in the Juan de Fuca Plate off the coast of Washington State and Oregon. Now, the USGS have been warning people as kind of easily and subtly as they can, participate in the earthquake drills, because you're probably going to need this, maybe, sort of, They're trying to tell you.
Yeah.
I've said this many times, guys. If I were in charge of the country and knew this was going to happen sometime in the next month or 6 weeks or whatever, would I come out to the public and tell them, here's what's going to happen? We're pretty sure, about 90% sure, that your life is going to change drastically, but don't panic, and it's going to take out property values. It wouldn't happen. I would have to do it like it's being done now, putting it out into the community in subtle, less exciting releases of news, and get more serious as you get close, and that's where we are right now.
Yeah, you don't hear much about the sun at all. I mean, I know Space Weather has their charts where the radiation levels just keep climbing and climbing and climbing. And I did read an FAA report warning to flight crews about the radiation levels.
Absolutely.
And so they were suggesting perhaps change the polar routes so that they don't get clobbered quite so hard.
Well, it's difficult getting astronauts off the planet because, you have to pick a little channel through the South Atlantic anomaly in the upper atmosphere to get through some of the radiation in the belt. It's a real problem. And as the sun is quiet at the moment, and our magnetic field is weakening, it's not a function of the sun, it's weakening in its own wind down. Our core magnetic, the melted core material flip-flops at periodic times upside down. Right now we have two north poles. The north pole is split, and the south pole is kind of running behind it very slowly, but about one half the speed. It's changing the magnetic vectors on the planet, and the field of the Earth is weakening toward the zero point. Now, when that is close to the zero point and through it and then going back, plus it might take 10 years, but during that time, our magnetic shield, in the ionosphere is weakened so much that we're getting bombarded not only from deep space radiation that's lethal, but from the sun itself, our near neighbor. So, it's the sun, and it's one of those things that you can't stop, and, you can only say to people, well, use sunscreen and hide.
Got any questions here, Larry?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I find it interesting that when Stan was, I guess, in Australia, they was warning people to wear long sleeve shirts and clothes and gloves and especially hats and et cetera. And America hadn't done that yet.
Well, you know, I was in that, Larry. I remember what you're talking about when I was over in Perth, and we had a hole, ozone layer hole, that allowed the ultraviolet radiation to just come straight down over Australia as we drifted through it. And it was so bad that I had blue jeans on and my normal work shirt, you know, like a jean shirt with long sleeves. And I was driving from up in the hills down into Perth for, you know, business in the morning, probably around 10 or 11. And the sunlight coming in through the window of the car hit my leg and burned like little needles sticking into it all through, you know, the area that's exposed to the sun. They came on the radio that week and said to the housewives, wear sunglasses and protection for your body when you're hanging your white linens out, or it could blind you. And that was, you know, public knowledge. But as you say, where do you hear it here? It's, you get an ionization or you get a UV map for the country, but who pays attention to it? Oh, yeah, UV counts up. Okay, so what?
Yeah.
And when it's intense, and it's been that way south of Cuba and some of the islands there when we had those holes drifting over, and also the South Atlantic anomaly in the atmosphere opened up, and the edge of it just struck these islands. And we got a phone call from some people living down there when it was happening, and kids were being taken out of school, getting nauseous and getting, you know, these prickly burn feelings, and adults were getting, you know, disoriented and diarrhea and things like that from the ultraviolet penetration that got through that thin area. So when I tell you that the thinning of the atmosphere is a problem, or the upper atmosphere, believe it. It's not a guess. It's going to get worse.
Far worse, probably, according to what I can find out.
I wonder about the scripture saying, you know, and they, you know, then cried out to let these rocks fall upon me and hide me from the wrath of the Almighty. Well, I think that's to hide from the sun, which is a judgment instrument in this case.
Yeah. Well, if the sun is supposed to be seven times brighter and the moon is bright as the sun, something has changed, I guess one could say, right?
Yeah, and you know, I've looked at that, several verses that point to that. And one of the things that comes to mind is, how is it going to select one-third of the fish and one-third of the trees and the grass all over the planet and burn just those? It's not. It indicates that it's going to be a sudden event from the sun, like a throwing off of a shell, you know, a phase state change where things are going to happen. This shell of energy, and it's going to be pointed at the surface of the earth that is facing it at that moment. And if you look at the path of electromagnetic radiation from the sun in that event, it won't hit half of the planet with destructive force because the angle will be too shallow near the equator, but it will hit about a third of the planet directly in one burst. And that third, you know, the fish, the seas will boil, the grass will burn, everything else. And even though you're in the other two-thirds that aren't burned at that moment, it will heat up the entire environment, and it'll be violent storms, you know, for weeks after that, as that increase of heat is redistributed across the planet. So I think it'll be a catastrophic sudden event. And sure, on the dark side of the planet, the moon may turn to blood, or it may go very dim because of the gas cloud that comes past us from that eruption of the sun. The sun will be surrounded by a cloud. It tells you that in the Old Testament. How long it stays there is another question, but that's what's going to cause the light from the sun to drop into the red spectrum and make a blood-red moon for a period of time until that gas cloud moves through the system past us. And that can happen in days and weeks when it starts.
Yeah, there was a fellow, his name is Dr. Paul LaViolette. His thesis was that this cosmic dust could actually cause the sun to do what it does at that moment, that it could just flash. I don't know whether that's true or not, but
it's an interesting hypothesis. I've seen it happen in the Hubble telescope photos of a distant stellar system. I had it up on our website a couple years ago where they actually filmed this particular star and its planets over a period of about 2 or 3 months. And it suddenly grew bright and then threw off a cloud of dust out through its system. And in a period of weeks, it went through the entire system and out. I'll have to see if I can find that, but it's a beautiful movie. You watch it, and bang, you see this cloud blow off of this that star and go out through the orbits of the planets. And it's, if it happened there, it can happen here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so much we don't
know. Any more
yet.
News on your Garden of Eden investigation?
Well, yes. I'm still in contact with some of our guards or rangers, they are called there, and the tour guide guy who took us up to the Ngoro Plateau, up to the top, to find the water that fed Eden. And I started looking on aerial and Google Earth maps of that area where we were, and just across the rim of where the water came up to water down into the Garden of Eden part, there are a number of Masai bomas, clusters of houses. And they were just over the hill, so I didn't get to photograph them from the ground level, but from the air we saw these things. And I started noticing the pattern of how they made the bush or tree-type shrubs to house in their cattle or sheep, whatever they were doing, around their homes. And I noticed from the air the pattern of it looked very familiar. And I realized I'd seen that over in Saudi Arabia when I was looking for Atlantis. These thousands, there's over 1,400 of them at least, and more. We're finding more every day. These black stone shapes that were made in the ground, only about 6 or 8 inches, maybe a foot sometimes high, but they were patterns you could only see from the air, and obviously were used for habitation of something long before the Great Flood occurred. And they had the same shape as the Maasai did. So we're wondering, because the Maasai were forced out of Kenya into Tanzania. And where were they before that? It looks like the tall Maasai warriors may actually be descended from some of the people that escaped, the Great Flood over in Saudi Arabia when it occurred. And they did escape.
Really?
Some did escape because, remember, when God told Moses and Joshua in particular, go into the promised land and go to this tribe over here, kill every man, woman, child, every animal, everything that has life, kill it. Why? Because it had polluted gene pool that got through the flood. Why were the giants like Goliath, his brothers, and the Rephaim and Zamzumim? Why were these giants still there? They were hybrid creatures and they were tall. So we look at the Maasai. Those guys, they're very tall and lean, very bright fellows. But are they part of the gene pool that escaped as well? So it's a fascinating thing we're looking at. And today, I saw on a documentary on the the History Channel, is it? Yeah, I think the History Channel, where they do a program called What on Earth? And they take satellite images of the Earth and that are unusual, and they explain them. Well, they have this one particular one in the eastern part of Russia that they've been excavating just a portion of it over the last decade. And from the air, it's a perfect circle within a circle pattern that we saw repeated many times over in Saudi Arabia, except this was a very advanced civilization. In 3000 B.C., they estimate, and the clay pottery that they were finding there when they uncovered it had brilliant red swastikas cast into the clay. These were the Aryans that the Nazis were looking for. They just were 200 miles short of that spot. So that is incredible. When we tie all that together, that was Atlantean civilization from Tanzania over to Russia, right through northern India. Just an amazing find.
Oh, Larry.
Yeah, I was going to ask Stan an unusual question. Holly has on his website today a brand new post. It says gravitational waves from black hole pairs may act like tractor beams, ripples in space-time. And Stan, we do know that scientists now have technology that is actually measuring and observing and picking up on gravitational waves, and there are reports that gravitational waves can be possibly multidimensional. What do you think?
Well, multidimensional probably means more like, going into a parallel universe. Einstein's equations and a lot of the ensuing models that have been made to try to correct the problems in Einstein's model do allow for a parallel universe or universes. Now, these things, these other existences, are right around us, according to this theory. But they are the matter in those parallel universe is out of phase with the gravitational waves of our universe. Maybe half a cycle or maybe more, but it's like if you could change your molecular vibration rate, you might be able to see ghostly shapes in a parallel universe, which I think will happen toward the middle and end of the tribulation period, that we will be able to see what people have called demons, you know, and disembodied things. We might be able to see a little bit through that wall between our universes. Now, gravity waves, for a wave to occur, it has to be a wave in something. Einstein knew that his theory did not work completely because he could not figure out, he said in his biography, why can a light source or electromagnetic radiation come from the sun to the earth or the planets through nothingness? How can a wave go through nothingness? And it was solving that problem that led me to understand electrogravitics and how there is a fine structure, very fine molecular structure, atomic structure, much finer than, you know, a hydrogen atom or something like that, or an electron, much finer. And that is a sea in which spins around axes create the illusion of a solid particle. That's why the scientists say that light acts like a wave and like a particle. You can bounce it, you can direct it, and it's a wave. So they call it a wavicle, wave and particle. This occurs with smoke ring type projections in a fluid of space. And so for the tractor beam effect to come from two black holes would mean that the gravitational field that forms these black holes is interacting to form a pocket that would lock planets or stars in it and drag it with the black holes without being consumed at this point in time anyway. So it's a wave reaction, and for us to be able to detect gravitational waves now, I remember debating at Western University of West Australia in Perth with the leading physicists there, one of them, Professor Randall, from the United States, about how we can detect gravity waves. He was very interested, but they hadn't solved the problem yet, and they just would not, you know, let their mind go just a little bit further. Parallel universes, dimensions, if you wish to call them that, these kind of things were just, you know, whimsical things. They would not even put their doubts aside for a second and listen to what we were trying to tell them. But now, of course, we can measure these things.
Mm. There was a Bavarian prophet, and what he said was that there was coming, I don't know if you could call it a cosmic wave or a gravity wave, but what he said was that this wave was coming, and when it did, it would transport people. They just vanish. And how he worded it, it sounded very much like the taking of the bride of Christ. And the people that were left behind were going to go into what he termed as an ascension, higher consciousness, which sounded to me like the New Age concept. What would you think about that? He said this is going to travel through, and when it does hit the earth, the people that are not attuned, is the way he worded it, I guess, would just simply vanish and be taken out.
Stuart, I debated this issue with a senior representative of the Findhorn Foundation, which is a New Age movement, theosophical type movement, when I was in Australia. And we stood on opposite sides of the audience looking at each other with microphones. And he said basically what you're talking about, that there would be this wave and that the souls that had not learned to be harmonious with the new earth would be transported to other planets and existences to learn their lesson and polish their souls and then ascend. So that people left here on earth would be going into the new age, the new dimension, the new consciousness, and they'd be all peace, love, and harmony. And so I said, right. Oh, you mean like the rapture that the church talks about? He says, yeah, but it's not going to be, you know, the aware ascended people that go. It's going to be, you know, the religious fanatics and things like that. It's saying the same thing you said, Stuart. And so, I say it's quite possible that there will be some sort of an event. Even if there's not, the raising of the dead from the graves, you know, the graves popping open the ascension, the rapture of various people that are still alive, this event will have to be explained to bring calm to a panicked public of the world. So if they say, yeah, there was this wave that came through, well, they wouldn't do it just immediately. They would be doing the groundwork now then. So they can say, well, remember back in 1985 that, you know, the prophet blah, blah, blah said that there would be a wave coming through. Well, this was it. It explains. And people would feel good about it that they were the ones that survived and the stupid people were taken away. So they're laying the groundwork for this event now.
Well, yeah, it's how close do you think we are to that? I'm a pre-trib or at trib or slightly into the trib.
Well, I'm there too. I'm there, and there are many things that I use to put myself there. You know, like the betrothal of Isaac to his bride. Well, Abraham sent his workers over to a foreign country, over to like a parallel universe, if you wish, to find a bride worthy of his son Isaac. So Isaac didn't go. He didn't go over across into that foreign land. They sent his father, Abraham sent his helpers or his workmen over there. It's just like Jesus is not going to be coming down with his troops to get us. They're going to catch us up to be with him. He's not going to set foot here until it's time. And that's the same thing there. So, sorry, what was the question there? I got sidetracked there. I wanted to say something and I went off on a tangent.
No, I was just curious if you thought it was close.
Yeah, okay. Close, yes. Because this pre-trib type thing there, it's the catching away of the bride, you know, before things happen. The Jewish tradition for betrothal, you know, and marriage and the celebration of the thing, that all tells us about a seven-day feast representing 7 years. And you start the wedding ceremony at the beginning of the 7 years. And you look at what Paul said to the Thessalonians when they were panicked and saying, look, here are some signs. Have we missed the rapture? And he says, no. Has the man of sin been revealed yet? That tells you right there, wait a minute. If the man of sin has been revealed and you see it, then maybe you're not supposed to be here. You know, maybe you didn't get taken in the rapture. So there are little clues like that when you start to put them all together. And by faith, you say, okay, this is where I think it will happen. But by faith also you say, well, Lord, it's your choice. And it's, you know, you and me, and I hope you find me worthy to be taken off in that rapture because I don't want to go through the tribulation. And that's where we put it.
Yeah, yeah. Larry,
Stan, I've got a comment, which you can comment on if you wish, and then a question. The comment is we're seeing a number of reports, they say, coming out of Antarctica that there appears to be some type of strange signal or vibration around the area of Antarctica that is causing a hum even of the ice. And then that's just a comment, and you know, if you know anything about that. But on the other hand, Stan, and I know we're headed towards the top of the hour, what about the arrival? Does it seem like we're possibly moving closer and closer into that activity or that event?
You mean to official recognition of the alien presence type thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think so. I've been expecting it year after year that the conditioning was reaching a peak, and then a year would pass and nothing would happen. But we're approaching a situation where the Earth, the nations of the Earth, the people are going to be panicked. If you have a nuclear war start, this will certainly worry the people. If you have severe weather changes, which are already having, climate changes, which are hitting crops, and people are migrating across borders, like our southern border and all through Europe, there are cultural interfaces, you know, or arguments between Islam and other religions that they're going through. When you see this kind of tension in the planet, and we're at a powder keg thing where there's going to be global war and civil war in countries and religions and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got nuclear weapons floating around in these terrorist communities. People will be panicked. And, okay, if the stock market or the global money market collapses in the middle of all this, and we know that the stock market is hugely overinflated at the moment, and, you know, the world economy is at a very critical point of collapsing. So when people see all this around them and diseases are spreading with, you know, the famines and people dying in various places and contamination, dead bodies and stuff, we're seeing that increase in various third world countries. When you see this, people are going to be ripe for some place where they can be safe and have peace. And if the alien messiahs come in their saucers, you know, and say, look, we can solve planet Earth for you. You just got to trust us and let us set up a global government and a global philosophy. We'll get rid of your leaders. You know, your leaderships are the ones that are causing us. There's the greedy ones there. They're the Illuminists. We'll get rid of them, and we'll give you peace and safety. That time is close. People are really getting stressed to the moment. They don't like their governments. They don't trust any governments. And they want answers. They want help. And they will they will just demand that their countries join the alleged alien Railder brothers who have obviously solved how to live together peacefully and travel all this distance to get here. And that's the great deception. And that time, I think, is very close. Very close.
Well, would we go up, do you think, at the same time they come down? Or will
we
be here to see it?
The man of sin is going to be a human, maybe a human hybrid, I'm not sure, but a human that will be appointed and supported by these alleged alien arrival. So from the time that they make their arrival in the skies and land, there has to be an appointment of the leader, and he will then obviously be identified to everyone. Now, did Paul say, you know, you won't see the Antichrist, but has he been revealed yet? Maybe we will see the revealing, and that'll be it. I don't think we'll be allowed to stay here during his early reign, because we will be a real thorn in his side, trying to tell everybody, here are the signs, they are lying to you. And that would destabilize what he's trying to do to take over the planet peacefully. Well, sort of peacefully, anyway.
Well,
look at the reports.
Delusion, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the word strong means very effectual.
Well, look, so, I mean, people have known, or think they've known, that the government has been hiding the UFO occurrences and things, and you're starting to see, you know, officialdom, you know, senior politician, defense ministers and stuff in Canada, and pilots and people involved are starting to come out and release the story. So it's a gradual release of information showing you how the government has, you know, been hiding this from you, but it's getting stronger now. And so when they actually do manifest in the skies and the cities, like in the movie or the series of V, look at that movie. That movie is so well done. They're using, you know, blood of an alien human hybrid to get rid of the bad guys, and you know, they come dressed in human bodies, but they're really serpents or reptilian. You know, like
yep.
in the Garden of Eden. The guy that did that, you know, I forget his name, Kenneth Johnson, I think, yeah. He had a series of those, and it was really brilliantly done to kind of frame a rapture situation and a great deception situation. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, more than
it's
interesting, I think, if we get to see it.
Well, I'd like to watch it from a distance. That's just me saying. Holly says she doesn't want to be here when the veil between the two worlds starts to thin and we see all these ugly critters. And she doesn't even want to see the ones that are here in our dimension. But, yeah.
Red Elk, who was an Indian shaman fellow, and that one of the big things he said was that the veils were going to thin, and that we would start to see these strange creatures. And Larry and I both know a lady down where he lives, and she claimed she saw a mastodon walk by, I guess, where they were, and behind the barn. She went out to look. Of course, there was nothing there, but she swore that's what she saw. And so I would assume that there was a veil thinning at that particular point.
Yeah,
it seems like we're getting more and more strange sightings of things.
I think that definitely it's starting to thin. I'm trying to remember what Einstein said. He postulated something that would explain the parallel universe, how they work. It's like every molecule, every atom of the universe that we sense around us expands and then contracts, and around a point where it's you know, like a point of spin, or you know, the core or the axis of spin, that we expand and then we contract. But the difference in time is this. We measure time by something traveling a certain distance or expanding and contracting like a cesium atom or something like that. Time is a ratio. It's not in real units. It's not absolute. So we expand, and while we're expanded, another set of atoms can pass through us and condense down into being solid. And in their time, okay, a second may go by, and then, then we expand, or they expand, and we contract back through them, and we pass through each other around the same points of mass, concentration, like atoms. And I know I'm doing a poor job of explaining, but Einstein was saying that is a possibility. He was teaching that in one of his classes at the university, and I met with one of his students, and we discussed what he was saying. It's so far out there that, only real lateral thinkers, free thinkers could even consider this, but that's how he pictures the parallel universes around us, and that we pass through each other, and until we're a certain density of mass, we can't sense each other. And certainly when we pass through each other, the phase changes, then we might just see the other mass as it passes through.
Wow.
Perhaps more so.
Yeah,
as time
by
passes.
Changing frequency, you would be then saying that the Lord could change his frequency so he could pass right through a solid wall, basically?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, easily. It's recorded in the Bible, in the New Testament. He walked right through a solid door. He just transported right through it. And we know how to do that theoretically now. You can polarize your body mass in a charged field at a certain frequency, and you can polarize the wall you want to walk through at that same frequency and then shift it half a phase and push through it. And your molecules are just like a solid. They'll pass through each other, and then you shift half a phase, and the wall is solid again, and you're solid on your side. You don't want to do the phase shift while you're in the wall, but once you've gone through it,
You get trapped, I suppose, if you did that.
Look at the Philadelphia experiment. The reports of that showed that some of the crewmen were stuck in the deck because they were in a field of change like that.
Yeah.
Larry, any final question? We got about 2 minutes left.
Yes, Stan, I just want to touch on something real quick. You remember your ancient alien underground base in Saudi Arabia. With so much focusing on Saudi Arabia, is it very possible that there would be an arrival at that location because it's so secret?
Larry, I've wondered about it. That's why I put it up at the front of all those unusual artifacts I'm finding in Saudi Arabia. It's just really in a remote place, but it's been there a while. You can see where they've taken out radomes and various other things and covered the dirt over with the scars still on the dirt there. And it's only, about 320 clicks out of Riyadh down the Jabal Tuwaik range. And, of course, that's Riyadh is where Mohammed bin Salman was raised. Maybe that's where he gets his help. The Antichrist gets help from the following and their technology.
Wow.
And it says he will overthrow the strongholds of the world, the underground bases and the strong military things. He will overthrow them with the help and the technology of the following.
Yeah.
Fallen ones, sorry.
Well, and then we've got Jinn, we've got demonic stuff going around, we've got weird sightings happening. People are seeing dog men and wolf men and stuff like that. I suppose that's going to increase rapidly soon.
Well, I suspect that the genetic modification is already going on here, has been for some time on the planet, and they may have them isolated from the normal population, but I do think that we're going to see some hybrids that are, pretty weird. Even what we see in the testing of DNA modification that they will talk about publicly, that somebody in some country is going to break the ethical rule and cross a human with a pig or a horse or whatever just to see if they can do it. So, those kind of things you're talking about could very well be walking around or escape from their compounds.
Well, thanks an awful lot for coming on, Stan. We really appreciate the update, and I guess everybody should watch, right, for the Middle East war to start.
Yeah, just pay attention. Have a good Sabbath. Shabbat shalom, guys.
Same to you.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Larry.
Long, Stan.
Bye-bye, Larry.
Yep.
See you, Stuart.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. Yep. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Yep. Good night, everyone. Heads up. Thanks, Larry.